Hey guys, people are always asking, how can you support shows like Core and other shows on the Frog Pants Network? And the answer is simple. Go to patreon.com/frogpants. That's right. Even tiny little bits help. So if you'd like to support the content you love, head on over. patreon.com/frogpants today.
Are you going for the Tobelstein? This is Core.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 50 of The Core Show. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And I can't believe there's been 50 of these. Isn't that crazy? 5-0, man. 50. They say if you reach 50 in podcasting terms, then you're committed. And when you reach 100, you're a real podcast. And when you fade at 200, you're a pod fader.
And when you're at 1,000, you're a legacy podcast.
And now you're, yeah, and you say stuff wrong all the time and people wonder how you ever got nominated for anything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. So I'm not going to speak for all of us here, but I think I might be speaking for all of us when I say that World of Warcraft Legion's pretty good and has pulled me away from most video games, not just Heroes, in a way that I didn't exactly plan on. I thought by now I'd be done with my placement matches for Hero League. I figured I would have all sorts of impressions of Zarya today to talk about. I don't. I thought I would have at least a shot or at least a look at the new Warhead Junction playable map. That didn't happen. So I just want to talk about it for a second. It is the elephant in the room. Let's talk about how, Blizzard tends to do this to themselves with their various games. Certainly Heroes took me away from WoW. I guess it's turnabout is fair play. Because Heroes really, I mean, I could actually probably point to Heroes and say, you're the reason I stopped raiding regularly, because raiding became less fun than PvP in Heroes with my friends.
Oh, and that's right. That's true. Because we would raid, mm-hmm. and we were on the same raid team, and we'd wipe a bunch on a boss, and then you'd hear someone, probably you or me, go, well, we could run this again, or what if we went and played Heroes? And then next thing you know, a bunch of people would disappear. And then I think we took that mentality just to the logical next step of, well, we could raid, but what if we just played Heroes?
And I still kind of feel that way. Generally, like if you're saying to me, all right, look, if you said, hey, our team league members are online and ready to play, or we could all raid, even this great new content, at some point I'm going to go in favor of Heroes because I just have more fun with my friends that way. And it's nothing, I mean, I like raiding, don't get me wrong, but banging your head against a wall for 2 hours is kind of what raiding ends up being sometimes. And yeah, sometimes you can have a string of losses in Heroes and lose 5 games in a row, and maybe that's just as bad. But there's something about those two things when they're juxtaposed against each other, I always find Heroes more compelling. John, how are you liking Legion? Is it killing your playtime the way it's killing mine?
It really is. I also thought I'd be done with all my placements already, and maybe even on my way to some team league placements. And I've finished one match so far, which I won.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have won, but we did.
Is that why you're afraid to go back? Because you're afraid it can't last? That first one was a fluke and now you got to lose one or what?
We had a 4 out of our 5 teammates wipe at level 23 with minions on the core. Ooh. And we won that match because they decided rather than push, they were going to go fight the boss instead.
Wow. Yeah.
And we were able to get back up in time and do a full defense. And then we had minions on their core and they ended up losing while we were doing a team fight at some point.
So even the venerable Bo Schwartz, who plays more Heroes than we do, clearly, is the better player, ends up at better ranks at the end of seasons. All of those things are true. Yet even he has spent more time in Azeroth than he has the Nexus. Bo, how are you feeling about that game?
Kind of upset, to be honest with you. I didn't expect it to be that good. I was like, Warcraft's going to come along, and you know what? I didn't play, like, I played a lot in Warlords, mm-hmm. and then I tapered off. And when the one big patch hit, I played an hour and said, I don't know. Yeah. I just
kind of where we
I
were.
Didn't have a taste for it. We won't get into what, why or why not Warlords. That's beyond the scope of this conversation. But I figured, it's a pretty old game, and Blizzard's got new stuff. I love Blizzard products. We'll see where I'm at, but I'm not going to get it on launch. And there's been a lot of positive feedback about it, and I had to see for myself.
Yeah.
The game's really fun. And so the Warcraft sickness has begun. I'm not getting any sleep. When people are talking to me, I'm thinking about, I want to check my companion app, or I wonder which quests I'm going to do tonight. I'm planning my world quests. I'm thinking about the sweet legendary I got that, makes me super special.
And, don't talk about your legendary.
That I found in you do world quests and you turn in, just like Diablo, you get your bounty. I got my sweet mm-hmm. orange item. It looks like I have a glowing red buckle.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. And it's pretty cool. I'm being such a jerk. Sorry.
Super casual about it. And here's what bugs me the most about it, Bo. Let me just... because this is actually somewhat Heroes related.
All right.
So we were playing together the night you unlocked World Quest.
Right.
And we did it at, it was late for me, but it was insanely late for you. Uh-huh. And you said to me, all right, well, cool. I unlocked them. I kind of want to stay on and do them because I don't think I'm going to do any World Quest tomorrow. And I said, oh, Bo, you're going to get on and you're going to play World Quest. And you were like, tomorrow's going to be a Heroes day for me. It's going to be nothing but Heroes. Next thing I know, you're in WoW all day, and you're like, yeah, I got a legendary. It's like, gosh, dang it. His first day with it's World Quest.
First day with World legendary. Quest.
Yeah, and you now are walking around with this OP character, and trying to play with you is like trying to play with some sort of, lottery winner who's pretending he doesn't have all the money in his pockets,
Well, it is WoW equipment. Like... WoW equipment's not like Diablo equipment. Like, WoW equipment's like, oh, I've got more agility. Great. Mm-hmm. Like, it's you know, I same. Think, no. like, it's, I like, it's cool to get gear upgrades, but to me, that's never been, it doesn't have the dopamine hit that I get in Diablo when I'm trying to hunt for my items. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, there's a new tech string with a different color that's supposed to make me respond in certain ways, but especially with the artifact weapon, I've got the cool weapon. I don't find the items a special part of the game, so I'm actually, even though I'm laughing about it, and oh, this makes it worse, I kind of don't care.
It does make it worse.
because at the end of the day, you're gonna gear up, like it's gonna happen eventually. I like being in the world. To me, the draw of Warcraft, and the reason why it's taking me away and why it always takes me away, is that the world is amazing. It's a hugely social experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this time around, the story's super compelling. Got a lot of... there's new characters at the forefront of the story.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's eating into my hero's time. Like, I can't do it all. And I'm running on, like, 4 hours of sleep since I've bought Warcraft. It's pretty bad.
It's been pretty bad. Now, so, despite all
I'm
of
I'm trying to work my way through it. Once I work my way through it, I'll get back
then to you'll be fine. Again. Sure, I totally understand. Yeah. But as a distraction, it's definitely there. It's creating kind of problems for us as Heroes players. However, and I think it was John who brought this up in the notes... it has a way when you play in there for a while and you do stuff and you're like, wow, this looks great. Man, I can't believe this game's 11 years old. They've really improved the visuals this time, or the draw distance is way better, or the new hero models are great, or whatever. And then you leave and you log into Heroes and you're like, oh, man, why can't everything look like this in World of Warcraft? Like, it does have a way of making Heroes models and animations and art look like the best thing you've ever seen in your life. Like Rexar,
I've got Shen and Lili in the monk area, mm-hmm. and then I logged into Heroes, and I was like, oh my god, the graphics in this game are amazing! Holy crap!
Because
I've played like 2 days of Warcraft.
Yeah, you forget that they're that good, and it's fun to do that. Like, it feels good to go, because I've got Rexar running around with me when I'm out in the field doing stuff, just because it's Rexar, and he has Misha, and pops him when I need him, and wants to fight, and throws an axe at my bad guys, and he's not even doing much damage, but he's fun to have with me, so I like that. But he is absolutely not as cool as the Rexar as currently constituted in Heroes of the Storm. Like, not even close to looking as cool as that guy. So lower poly counts, different looking designs in some cases. Taronda can eat a rock, dude. She's driving me freaking crazy in her, World of Warcraft. She is annoying as shit. I don't like her in it. And I like her in Heroes. She's fine over there. But in here, she's so whiny. Where's my husband? Bah, 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 bah. She is like the biggest ball and chain Azeroth ever had tied to its ankle. So anyway, there's that. Anyway, so if you guys aren't playing it, you're crazy. It's really good. And doesn't mean we don't love Heroes and that we're not going to get right back to it. And so, in fact, we're going to start today with the Heroes talk, talking about a complete visual rework of Brightwing, including all her skins, his skins, him, her. Do we decide?
Her. No. Yeah.
Her, not him.
It's her. Him. It's her. 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 I'm the one. No, this is the story. I thought it was a him because I thought they were being creative, that men don't necessarily have to have deep voices because they're so manly. Like, you know,
right.
You can be a guy too and talk like this, and that's perfectly normal.
Yeah.
So
my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was the case. It isn't. I'm wrong. I've been corrected. It's a girl. And so
now before people get excited about this girl, dragon, imp, lady thing, and this rework, it got shelved because of the backlash against Murky was so strong. I don't know why that would be. What was the? I don't remember the backlash about Murky, so I don't know who wants to take this. Bo, what did Phil Gonzalez say on the Reddit Q&A?
Well, what he said as part of the Reddit Q&A, we'll talk about some of the other stuff on there later, but he said updating some of the older heroes is complicated, and it's not something they have resources to necessarily do. So, between the time they need for the community feedback, they don't have any plans. And when they updated Murky, it caused the backlash. And so if people don't want graphical updates to their heroes, now this is what he said. And apparently this happened and I somehow missed this conversation. They decided to shelve Brightwing because, well, geez, people don't like us messing with the thing we put out. Like, it looks a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're taking a risk that all of a sudden, I guess, people don't like it. Although showing it the way they just Phil showed Brightwing, he's like, here's what it would have looked like. Like, the new Brightwing looks amazing.
It looks so good. I'm so mad about this. This is why we can't have nice things, internet.
Yes. And so, John, do you remember what the Murky thing was about, though? Like, he didn't look like a Murloc or something, right?
I don't know. They changed him. I'm going to have an unpopular opinion here. I liked Murky more post-change than I did before. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't like it. I think it was because they moved him a little more monster-looking instead of as cutesy as he was. But I thought across the board, Murky looked better between his original look and his new look. But I know people did freak out about it and, why'd you change it and all that? But I have a feeling that a lot of those people ultimately would have fallen into my camp, which I didn't think the Murky change was significant. And I was just like, I liked both of them. I thought both were fine. But there are some people that are going to make their voice heard, darn it, even if they don't feel that passionately about it. And so now we're denied what I think is a really cool looking Brightwing.
I agree with you. And I don't quite understand it, although I guess there's a psychology at play here where they're like, we were going to do this, but because you guys freaked out so much, we didn't. Oh, really? Well, what did it look like? Well, here's what we were going to do. And everyone goes, oh, that's totally cool. You should have totally done it. But would those same people have said that if they just would have done it? Like, if it feels like the way that the context of how this was introduced to people's eyeballs is it happened in such a way that they would probably still, there'd still be a big, huge bunch of dicks about it, somebody out there, about the change.
So now, the other thing, too, is that, like, Murlocs are just disgusting. Like, so there was a nicer Murloc before, and now there's a crappy one. It's a Murloc. Like, who cares? like, why did that have to be the test bed for it? It's not like you see World of Warcraft, the Murloc Crusade, and have a big Murloc, and it's iconic to the franchise. Like, you take Murlocs out of Warcraft, you lose something, but you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. You know, you can't take, I mean, it's not that important. If people didn't like that one, I'm sad to hear that it deterred any sort of that decision. That decisions were made to focus elsewhere because some of the older models, you know, need updates. John, I know you'd like to see some of the hands looked at. on some of the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because yeah, they're like 2000, you know, 10 hands, and we need 2016.
They're weird sausages
hands.
At the end of things. I put a link of the changes between murky old and murky new.
Oh, I'm glad you put that in there. I want to see
share
that
with the video audience.
Yeah, I do for sure. I was trying to actually find something, and I couldn't find anything good. Ah, crap. Where's that? Did you put it in the? Where'd you put it?
Show notes, right below. Oh, show notes. Right wing.
I got five places for links. Here we go. So here is the difference.
It's the most nothing change ever.
All right, let's take a look here, chat room. Sorry, this is taking a second. Okay, there we go. So here is, oh yeah, there's like, yeah, it's just a cleaned up thing. It's barely a change at all. At least he doesn't look like he's got cataracts now. That's the main thing.
I don't understand the outburst.
I mean, he's still kind of racist looking, but other than that, he's fine.
Yeah, I guess so. He just looks like a fish to me. He just looks like a fish with legs, which is, I guess, what they always were or what they always have been.
And part of the reason for getting this change, too, is that they're updating the models to make it easier to produce skins. So some of the older iterations on older models probably programmed or set up in some way to make it harder to do things. Mm-hmm. And so part of the graphical update was also a like developmental update internally for them, which is important for us to do if we want cool skins, if they want to do weird things. A hero they put out in 2014, they weren't developed with the same tech and design and philosophies of 2016 or looking forward to 17 and 18. So we want them doing this stuff. So we have to like everything they release.
I think more than that, they just need to make stuff and not care what we think, honestly. Like, especially when it comes to art and aesthetics. I trust them with that stuff. There's a reason people love them for their art and their character design and stuff for years. I don't, even if it's something that disagrees with them a little bit, I'm just going to be, who cares? Forget what I think. Just make a better Brightwing if you think it's better. And it totally is. That's a badass Brightwing. And I would probably play her more than I do now because of it. Like, part of the reason I don't play Brightwing is because of the damn butterfly. I mean, let's be honest. It's a frog butterfly. Yeah. Less interested in frog butterflies than I am badass looking dragon fury looking deal.
Well, and it removes all hope I have that they're going to update the model I really want them to update, which is Tracer, because it drives me crazy that it looks like she's wearing a diaper.
What? Tracer's wearing a diaper?
Hold on a second. I know what you're talking about. It's a little bit of like grandma panties, right? Kind of big, big baggy. Yes. Yeah. No. He's not wrong. I think John's onto something. I don't think it's horrible. It just makes me think she's incontinent or something. And hey, right. We've all got our stuff. We all have our issues. I'm not making any judgments here. There are people every day who got to like go dump a colostomy bag or, you know, whatever they got to do to get along in life. And it's totally fine. But I don't know that Tracer needs to look like that's happening. And in her victory pose, when she's done and she's won and she's on the MVP page, it looks a little bit like her leather strap things are just holding the diaper together. You know what I mean? Just kind of holding it there. It's fine. But I'm with John.
There's a diaper quality to it. You'll see it the next time you play her. You've been playing her more, Bo.
I played her today.
You'll see it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Yeah. So I'm sorry to everybody who's now going to go looking for the Tracer diaper, and you're going to see it. I want it changed, too. That's why I bring it up. It just makes me sad, especially because, you know, canonically speaking, if we're going to dive into the lore, couldn't she just rewind to a time where she didn't have to go to the bathroom?
Yes.
That's true, right? She could hold it forever.
She could be whatever she wants. Listen, if we've got...
You had one of those mental problems that made you not want to go number two.
When we have non-angry Jaina, why not non-diaper Tracer?
Yeah. You can buy her Spectre skin. She looks more like she's wearing a belt, so...
Well, it's just a stealthy diaper at that point. That's all you get.
A little diaper rump is there no matter what. I think it's a wire mesh model is the problem. It's weird.
My God.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
There's a diaper rump all around.
Yeah. And there, listen, not all characters probably have something we could point to, but that one's a very, I think, an obvious one. Anyway, so well, you're not going to get new skins for that, at least not right away, or a new rework of Brightwing, but maybe down the road. And my guess is they saw the feedback here and probably went, oh, this isn't so bad. People seem to like it. Maybe we will do it.
Let's mobilize people. Mm-hmm. We have people that listen. send a tweet. If every person that listens sends a tweet demanding that thing be released, they'll release it. And if all the shows and community people, I think that was why Phil Gonzalez kind of, I think he went off book. I think there is a question. And he's like, I got this great thing that nobody wants me to show you. Let me just, if I get enough upvotes, he says, I'll show it to you. And then we gave him upvotes, so he got to show it to us. Now we need to follow through on our pact with Phil and say, we want this now.
Not only did he get upvotes, but he got unanimous agreement in that thread that everyone loved it. Like nobody poo-pooed on it.
Yeah. You know? And I'm gonna tell everyone. I'm looking at the old and new Murky, both of those faces, disgusting faces. Like they're great lizard quality. I'm not in admiration of it like I am those gorgeous wings and the cool things they did with the ear. Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. I don't disagree with you there. All right. New PTR is out. It's on the servers. Warhead Junction is playable. Still haven't seen it. I want to. And Zarya is playable. Has anyone poked around with Zarya yet?
I played her. Wow.
Sorry, I need to mute my mic when I'm going to have an outburst.
That was a good one.
I've poked around with her.
Yeah. It was high school. You guys were drunk. I understand how it worked out.
Right. And only on the shop. She suffers from Overwatch-itis. She feels like the Overwatch character. That being said.
Oh, interesting, because I completely disagree with you.
Oh, okay. So first, Bo, tell us how she's like an Overwatch. Tell us how she's Tracer-ish in that way, and then I want to hear John rebut.
Well, all of her abilities are the abilities from the game. Some of their interpretation is different. And she has the extra ultimate, which is kind of the same thing, but just in a different direction.
It sucks you in instead of, blows you out instead of sucking you in, right?
Yeah. And so the cool thing about her, though, is that effectively she's kind of like half a Medivh and half a Tychus. So while she reflects her Overwatch self very one-to-one, I still think in this game, I've really come around on Tracer, so maybe it's not a bad thing. I'm being more open-minded about it, but I have to say, not a big jump from her life in Overwatch at all.
That's right. I forgot all about the fact that you've been playing, at least up to last week, the last time I played Heroes with you, you have been playing a lot more Tracer and pretty well, and you had kind of had a complete turnaround on her, so this is probably a non-issue anyway, because you'll end up liking her for the same reason, if not right away, down the road.
Look, a relationship is not formed in one day. You're not going to go to a bar and meet somebody and fall in love. That's going to last a few weeks. You got to like just do things together and be friends. Yeah. And next thing you know, you're on the journey. That's what me and Tracer are doing right now.
Yeah, you got to poke around. John, your thoughts. I guess you took her out in try mode or whatever, right? Test mode. John.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I thought you were still talking about Bo and his date. I was like, that's kind of offensive, but it's fine.
Oh, man. No, yeah. No, you actually tried her. And I mean, if you think it's, well, okay, so how is she not like her Overwatchiness?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that Bo's necessarily wrong in the things he said. I think he's accurate. Her kit very closely resembles her Overwatch kit.
Mm-hmm.
She controls very much in the same way that Tracer controls. I would almost describe it as she plays like an Overwatch character in Heroes. But to me, I don't particularly like playing Zarya in Overwatch. I don't know what it is about that character that just, it never clicked with me control wise or, for whatever reason, didn't like her. I really liked the very little time that I got to spend with her, on the PTR. I actually thought she was a lot of fun and I thought her kit was actually kind of interesting. And the things that don't work for me in a shooter were working for me completely in a MOBA where I'm shielding myself to protect damage when it's coming into me. I'm shielding my ally when damage is coming into them. That's helping me build up my energy to make my DPS better. I'm focusing on being right in the correct range to really use her particle cannon well, and it's clearing, minions and heroes alike. And all of that just felt really, really solid and really, really good to me. And so I guess I'm not really saying she feels totally different from a literal standpoint so much as, like, I don't like Overwatch Zarya that much, and I think I might really like Heroes Zarya.
Interesting. So here's my question about her right-click ability in Overwatch is to throw the energy grenade things as opposed to her sort of laser regular click thing. wish I knew these names. How does that function in there? Is it a is it also limited by ammo and uses up whatever it is, five ammo instead of one like the regular shot does? Or is it a cooldown-based thing? Or how's that function?
She gets charges. So okay. You get five charges of the grenade, which you can spam if you want, which is actually a lot of fun when you can just kind of just start hitting it a lot. I believe it's your Q ability. Mm-hmm. And so you get five charges and then it's on a cooldown. And every time, you know, it rotates, you get one more charge back. Although you can talent into it late game where every time it recharges, you just get all of them back. So just go spam crazy with the grenades.
That sounds all right. How's what's her other thing that she does? Her what does she do? Oh, the shield stuff. I'm curious about this. The shield in Overwatch is super short, the one that's over her. It's real short, and I kind of hate that, how short it is. It's longer for those she casts it on. Does it work the same? Same idea?
I didn't check the duration, but they're neither is a particularly long shield, nor are they insanely powerful. They'll mitigate some damage, but, you know, I wouldn't call her support. Like, you're not going to feel like you're playing Tassadar as her or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But the boost comes in. She has a little bar underneath all of her health and stuff like that. She's another one without mana, so you'll hate her, even though you should like her for that reason. And this bar fills up the more damage she absorbs, and it empowers her laser to make it more powerful, just like in Overwatch. But you can crank that thing up and then talent into it to where that thing becomes seriously powerful. And considering she's a warrior, I mean, she's not designed to do a ton of damage, but that thing becomes a threat and it's just always on. If they're in, you know, close to melee range, mid to melee, it's just on them and hitting them and hitting anything in between them as well.
Sounds all right. I want to play her. I like her in Overwatch, unlike you, so I wonder if I'll have the opposite impression. Because I really like her in Overwatch. Will I find her clunky here? I don't know. Maybe. Give it a shot.
Word from what I'm hearing, early impressions are she doesn't make a good solo tank. I think she's going to feel, like I said, she's half a Medivh. Like, she does the weird support spec thing, and then half a Tychus, where if you charge that thing up, maximum charge, then, you know, you do good damage.
Do we have any feelings about Warhead Junction yet? Anybody see it? Try it? Custom match on it? Anything like that?
I forgot it was there. I went to try, I went to try stuff. I was like, let me try all the new stuff. Tried the new Zeebo, tried the new everything.
Yeah.
Logged out. Didn't play Warhead
Junction. general discussion on Reddit and other places seems positive. People like it. I suspect it's good. So we'll certainly give that more time as time goes on. All right, some big changes to some heroes. Nazebo, my boy. And then throw down your zombies. That's his job, right? Well, he's got some big changes, this guy. Corpse spiders change to only spawn spiders when you hit an enemy. So this is very interesting. Usually we just sort of toss our spiders and don't really care where they land because they're just going to attack the closest enemy. And especially post level 16, they leap to your enemy and cause all sorts of problems for them. And it's great, but you don't have to be very skill based with it. Now you do. So for me to get any benefit out of that, they have to hit somebody. My big question is there a delay? So when I click the little reticule area, the area I want to throw it in, currently there's a kind of a delay from when I click it to me tossing it and then it landing there. It's small, but it's there. I wonder how much of that will be there when I'm trying to hit quicker characters and zip out.
It's still there. It's going to be tricksy.
Ugh. All right. So that, but
fast players are going to be able to teleport out of it if they have the option to.
That worries me slightly. Yeah.
But it's not just heroes. You can hit minions and they'll come out.
Okay.
So it's very forgiving to hit any of the monsters and towers in the game. It's just the heroes if you try and nail them directly. So, you know. If that's not your jam, though, the new toads will be more of your jam. You get two charges of it.
Yeah, but less toads, right? So toads of fewer toads of hugeness.
when you're blowing people up with your toads, generally you hit with the middle ones.
Right.
So it's kind of like you don't need those side ones, really. And since you have two charges, if you just shoot them both off in quick succession, it's like you have six toads.
Yeah.
Also, you can spec into having five toads if you just want to have five toads.
I'm all in.
I just want to take a moment to acknowledge how weird it is to talk about changes to Nazebo. Just like, How many exploding toads can I get? When I throw a jar of spiders at my enemy, are they going to attack my enemy right away, or will there be a delay? I just feel like this is the kind of conversation that, if not in the context of video games, puts you on a list.
I think they took out the best talent, which was, I think it's out, where your toads would turn into spiders when they blew up.
Oh, right. They'd explode into others.
You stuff spiders into your toads before the battle. You're like, let me get my ammunition ready. Stuffing, don't want to kill it. Just put it in the stomach. And then,
there's a lot of prep involved with Nazebo's arsenal, it turns out.
Not so much a hero as he is just like an adolescent youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some kid, he's sick of blowing up anthills, so he's moved on to shoving spiders down the throats of toads to see what would happen. One of the things that, so now I'm convinced of something I'm going to say in a second. I don't know if it's controversial, but I'm convinced of something, but I'll tell you why I'm convinced of it. Death Ritual is now baked into his trait. This is the increase of both mana and hit points over time. It used to be a quest talent before that, just a talent, where you would kill the more minions you killed, the more HP and the more, mana you would have over the course of the game. And if you're playing your cards right and doing well in lanes, you could have a pretty, you know, pretty awesome, pretty sustainable, survivable Nazebo by the end of the game, which is great. I love that talent. I always choose it. This is now baked in. Now, you might say, oh, well, they baked it in because everyone chooses it. It's a default choice. Maybe, or just maybe, we have sure lately seen a lot of these talents get baked in permanently to characters that started as, or were last iterated as, quest talents. And so I'm now convinced that Blizzard uses quest talents to test out whether something should be baked in or not. Because if they don't, great, still a good talent, still a thing you can take. If it doesn't, or if it does, then they might just bake it into your character. So next time I see something get changed to a quest, or a character has something added like that, I'm going to assume that there's a possibility down the road that's going to be a baked-in trait.
I want to see the numbers before I jump on your train, but I like the look of it from the outside.
Yeah, it's a pretty good conspiracy. I have zero data to back it up. But
I do like wearing tinfoil hats. Yeah, so
me too. It's a good look for
you. Might sign up for this thing.
It's a real good look for
you. I want to come up with a wish list now. All the ones that don't have baked goods, I want baked goods.
And the talents I want baked in. Everything.
I think Nova needs triple tap baked into.
Oh, please no. Please no. I mean, obviously, there's examples that are ridiculous and they'll never do it. And I can't even think of another good example where they did do it. So there's probably zero air to my little conspiracy balloon here. But I like the idea of that being a test bed that actually benefits gameplay without them having to test it outside of the game. So for whatever it's worth, I think that's kind of cool. Chen's getting some big changes. And there's, by the way, Nazebo getting a bunch of new talents, but the big stuff we've already talked about. So what's happening with Chen? Bo, you're a big Chen guy. What's going on there?
Big Chen guy. So first of all, Storm Earth Fire, one of his ultimates, was a second health pool. So whenever you got low in health, you could turn into three little pandas and go to town and get them all dead and then respawn back to life. And hopefully you've bought yourself enough time or the battlefields change enough where you can get away and that kind of thing. Used it a lot. So that is no longer the case. Like Commandeer Odin. If you die as your little three pandas, you just die. So note, Chen players, that will happen. The good news is that you get three new abilities. So before, when you did that alt, if you pressed Q, all your dudes would go to the spot. Whew, and if you press W, all your dudes would jump out into a V form or Y formation, and they go like that. They make noises. And now you have like ability buttons like the Lost Vikings does. So the Q does something, the W does something, E does something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but you know, they attack and they jump around and stuff. So that's really cool. Generally, just a big upgrade. But I've been going Keg a lot more, and Keg's kind of still Keg. The Wandering Keg, where you push people around. But he has a ton. He's basically got a talent rework, like a more minor one, but there's a lot of shuffled things around, a lot of great named talents in there. You guys know I'm a big fan of Regeneration Master. Well, I always take it on Chen, and he's got his own brand called The Freshest Ingredients. And that's pretty cool. I just like the name. It's Regeneration Master with some extra flair. What matters here is the name, folks.
Right.
And He's got this other ability called Withering Flames, which will actually reduce enemy ability power by 25% if he sets people on fire. So there's a lot of stuff that gives you bonus ability power. I think this is the first instance of seeing something that will actually reduce your ability power. So that's an interesting experiment over there. And he's got a giant killer self heal.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, giant killer is like your auto attacks do an extra percentage of life damage, right?
Yeah, good. So Vala and Jim Raynor, they benefit from this quite a bit. That's yeah.
And Tychus is the king of it now, right? So at level 20, he gets this, I can't remember what it's called, but giant killer self heal is what it's called. and basically, whenever you use a basic ability on an enemy hero, you heal 1.5% of your max health. And he's got super low cooldowns. So you're if someone has a giant killer, you're anti-giant killering them.
Wow.
So that's amazing. Lots of cool new stuff. And just everything's moved around all different. I can't wait to dig into new Chen. I tried it out in the shop, but I can't wait to figure out how he's broken now. So I predict he'll be the new broken
guy. He's the new broken guy. So, John, you just started to get your head around Chen. Does it bug you when changes like this happen and you are like, well, shit, I just learned him. Now I have to relearn him.
Yeah, now I have to be bitter about Chen again for another couple months until I try him again and then they change everything.
Yeah, that's maybe the problem. I don't know. We thought this has been an ongoing topic here on the show about how often Blizzard changes these characters in fundamental ways that make it so somebody who's played 400 games with their favorite character is like, well, I don't like how he plays now. What am I supposed to do now? And it's a real issue. Like it keeps sort of coming up, and this is a small example of that, but I don't know. I'd like to get more feedback from listeners. Send your emails in about how you feel about these kinds of changes and does it mess with your playstyle too much. ETC.
I mean, I'll say this real quick, just jokes aside. I'm always excited when they bring new life to a character, even Chen. Like, I like to make the joke, oh, right when I was starting to play him. But I know what it's like to be on the other side of these changes for a character you really like. And so, you know, seeing Bo being excited about it, I mean, as long as you're coming out of it happy, I always consider it a good thing when players are like, oh, they've destroyed the character I liked. You know, I'm maybe not so excited for those, but
one complaint. Then if I have to, you're inviting me to complain.
Go
so
ahead, do it.
Cause you said everything's good. I used to like to take Regeneration Master, Amplified Healing and Brewmaster Balance for my tank build. Now they moved Amplified Healing on the same tier as Brewmaster Balance, probably because all that regen was pretty OP. But
now you got to make a choice.
I need some tissues. I'm going to go cry it out.
Yeah. They did this with, who was it, Karazim that had, oh no, they fixed it with Karazim. Because Karazim used to have this really, or maybe he still does. Where is he still have that awful choice of second fart or 100 fist slap or whatever the hell it's called?
Oh, you're talking about Volley of Blows versus Second Fart.
Yeah.
And yeah, they made the second fart not as good and made the first fart, the potent one, as in life.
As, yeah, the way it
and,
is.
And, and so now you feel less guilty about, you know, not farting the second time.
Yeah. I'm kind of, John, I'm with you on, I get excited about changes because I trust Blizzard to make some fun things happen. I'm more worried about new characters, and we have a great call later about new characters that we'll get to here in a minute, so we'll bring that topic up again. ETC got some talent increased, some changes, got an increased range on power slide by 25%. It's now baked into power slide, so another baked into deal. Although not a quest, but
there's a talent that increased the range by 25%. Your theory's holding true, they're baking it in.
It wasn't a quest though, was it, or was it? Was it?
No.
All right. It was just the frequently picked talent in this particular case.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm excited about the next one.
Prog Rock now at level one. So if you want to do the healing ETC build, other talent tweaks, and other stuff coming as well. But if you want to heal, right there, not level one. You like that, do you?
Not necessarily because I love the talent, but because it was always weird to have an ETC in late game all of a sudden be like, okay, now get around me because I can heal you. Like, at least now we can have that discussion early and decide whether or not that's going to be the way we play, as opposed to this weird, like, okay, we're halfway through the game. Now all of a sudden everybody group around ETC in a way that you weren't doing it before.
Sure. And depending on the other team's comp, that could be a problem as well. Let's see what else here. We got Li Ming, arcane orb rather, tweaked to do less damage, but be more accurate. Says more effective, or says it's an effective buff, even if it looks like a nerf. I don't know, man. What does that mean? More accurate. I still have to aim it, right?
Well, there's very specific language in the notes, and let me bring it up because they headed this off in their developer comments. They said, guys, it looks like a nerf, but it's really a buff. But I didn't write down the
less damage, more accurate. I'm just trying to get my head around how you make something you have to aim and shoot more accurate.
Think of it this way. I ran into this all the time playing Li Ming, and it's why I tended to do her teleportation build, because I don't like the arcane orb. You line up what you think is a real good skill shot, but your orb just barely grazes the slight corner of a minion's arm, and next thing you know, it explodes way before you intended it to. If it's smaller, you can, in theory, shoot it in places that you couldn't before.
Okay. All right. That sounds that makes sense to me. Bo, did you find anything else there that adds to that?
No, I think John put it succinctly. It's just, it's going to be a smaller projectile. And that's supposed to make it better to shoot because it does hit all kinds of stuff.
And you don't intend it to. To counteract that accuracy, they had to nerf the power, I guess, because that makes sense. If it's already a little too OP anyway. All right, that makes sense. Malfurion. Probably have to protect the wilds, he'd say, if I had him here with me.
Save me, Taronda. Save me.
He's the worst. He really is. Him and Taronda. Okay. Let me just do a quick award show here on the show. We need a sound for it. How about? All right. These are the awards for best to worst character so far in the Legion expansion. Worst character goes to Taronda, I believe. She's okay. Annoying as hell. I'm going to put her husband, Malfurion, right up in there. He's super annoying. And I'm going to put one of the fallen ladies. I don't know her name, but you have to kind of wander around with her in Fallen R, whatever the hell it's called, in Suramar. And she's got to show you a bunch of stuff. She's not the main lady.
Oh, the wine lady.
Yes, you know
who
I mean.
She's like, hello, welcome to the winery.
Yeah, she's awful.
I'm going to show you around.
She's awful. She might be bottom list. She might be the worst in the game.
Well, I mean, spoilers. She's not going to bug anybody anymore.
Yeah, she's not going to be there forever. But she's so poorly VO'd. And then, on the other flip side, I'm going Khadgar. Guy's amazing in this expansion. In fact, yeah. Khadgar for heroes, please. I want Khadgar. I don't know what he's going to be. Don't know what he's going to do. But, because he's already kind of like, you know, he's basically Medivh and one of the other mages combined in some weird way. So I don't know how he works, but I'd love to have him. He's freaking great. I think Illidan's freaking great. And let's give it. Oh, and then there's I don't know his name. Greymane's great. Oh, yeah. Don't let me forget about Greymane. And I'm going to forget somebody here. Like all the big ones, they're all good like usual. Sylvanas is great. Freaking Varian Wrynn was great. All these people are great. Okay. But all the lower tier stuff, like the questy giver storyline people.
Yeah.
There's a guy is it Valshara? Maybe. Maybe not. And he keeps giving me world quests, but he's a green haired druid dude, night elf man. And I don't remember his name.
Is it Taronda's brother?
Maybe. And
Taronda's brother.
He's amazing.
He's somebody's brother. He's somebody's brother, though. Like, I don't think he's Taronda's brother.
Somebody else.
Oh, is it Maiev's brother?
Oh, it might be Maiev's brother.
Yeah, there you go.
He's the guy who goes through Blackrook Hold with you.
I believe so. Yeah. And he's constantly just going, yes, this is a fancy, this is a very interesting find. Like, he's got the greatest affectation. He's awesome.
Jared Shadowsong.
That's it.
That's the guy.
That guy's great.
Thank you, chat room. Lucifer756. We'll see you after the show for our payment of souls.
Now, how does... man, this might turn into way too much WoW, so I guess I'll just ask it quick. How does that make you feel knowing he's the brother of Maiev, who I know you hate?
It's not that I hate her. I like her. I just think her wardrobe is the pits. So that's all. That's it for those people. I think those guys, the wardens, are sweet. They got their own island and shit. They're great. I love those guys. Hire the wardens. Protect us, man. You guys are cool. But don't wear what looks like, you know, I don't know what it is. It's terrible.
Yeah, but you get a shower curtain, you can get some sweet cosplay going.
That's basically it. It's this big shower curtain wide thing There's no practicality to it. And listen, I know that you could say that about everything everyone wears in WoW, but I visually cannot deal with her, her sisters, or any of the people that are wardens. I can't stand it.
So that guy takes off his dumb...
That guy doesn't have to wear that stuff. He's super cool underneath. He's great. So my vote goes that guy.
I want to vote now, too, because we're giving out awards. Yeah. My favorite character is the High Mountain leader.
Oh,
I don't remember her name.
Michaela High Mountain.
Lady Cowhide.
Lady Moose Antler, I think is it.
Like, Runus?
It's Michaela or Mayla or Myla or Maya.
Myla sounds right.
Yeah, she's not in a cinematic, but she's extensively VO'd and
she's great.
And she just seems really cool. She gives off a cool vibe. And I'm a Tauren dude, single Tauren dude monk. And
Bo's just looking for characters to date. He's like, well, this is the most eligible character. You're a monk, man. Oh, Get your head out of the gun.
That reminds me. No, I'm glad you're bringing this up. So this has a hero's connection to it.
Myla.
M-A-Y-L-A. There you go. Myla High Mountain. So she's got... She's there, and everyone's going, we are High Mountain, blah, blah, blah. Together, we are High Mountain. That place is one of my favorite places in the game. Love that whole zone. Love the people there. That is to say, all the cow people, they're amazing. However, I finally got a way to make it so ETC is not the only Tauren in Heroes of the Storm.
Okay.
You bring me one of the, like, who's the guy that you played her like grandpa in a scenario like a past thing?
Cole. We're so bad at names.
Whatever it is. Boland. Like, Full Mart, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's the original High Mountain man.
Guy who banished Deathwing.
Yes. And he's a hunter. He's basically a survival hunter is the way he played, which is interesting. So for those who haven't played a survival hunter, he played a lot like that. Anyway, he's great. And bring him over. And the reason I say it works is this. Not just that he's another Tauren, but it's this brand of Tauren that have like antlers and not horns. They're not cows as much as they are like weird... like moose combo deer Taurens, and it's super cool.
It's like it's like if a Canadian and American hook up.
Yeah, exactly. You end up with a moose cow. Yeah, you get a moose, the little baby moose cow. That's the guy I want. High Mountain Grandpa High Mountain is who I want in this game. So bring him over. All right, we're done with that. Where were we? We were talking about, Malfurion. Oh, he got some shit. All right, so he's whatever. Do we like what happened to him? What's going on with him? Is it worth mentioning?
All right, so they hinted at they'd like to look at him in the future. Mm-hmm. When they say things like that, you know, maybe something's in the works. And it's true, he's not a very popular support right now. So anyways, his Q, his regrowth, his heal, got its cooldown, I think, cut in half or reduced significantly. Healed over time lasts longer, significantly longer.
When did he go from not being? When did he end up not popular though? I thought he was like number one pick for a long time. When did that change?
I think for a while. I just think right now his heal's on such a long cooldown, and it's a heal over time, whereas all the other heals are way more responsive. Even Tacitor's shields, you just get it.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff is very like you have to spec into kind of strong heals, but it's all dots.
Yeah,
and people just don't. I think it's good. A lot of people don't appreciate having to play more careful and nuanced with it. So that's sort of so basically they've taken an ability and said, here, we're making this better while we have a look at him. They didn't say exactly that. Pretty much it's what's going on. Also, Innervate has a new feature. So Innervate's the thing that gives you, I think, 25% of your mana returned.
Right.
It also now increases cooldown reduction for all basic ability. I think it's all basic abilities, or is it the heroic too, by 50%. Not clear if it's on the heroic, but that's big. So if you put it on Li Ming, who has all these pretty short cooldowns, boom, they're probably already up. Like she could probably chain spam everything for the most part, which is pretty disgusting. So
yeah. Taronda, I'm getting some good changes in the Nexus, he would say.
Now, let me see if it's a heroic, because if it's a heroic, that's a big deal.
I'm also bringing Christmas presents for all the good boys and girls.
My brother's a dick.
Yeah, it's basic abilities only. Only basic abilities.
Okay.
So not heroics. But still, it's really good. There are some characters like Jaina with some really long basic cooldowns. Splitting that in half is a big deal.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah.
That's super good. Seems like that'll help him. And then finally, John, Diablo can no longer overpower heroic vehicles such as the DK or Garden Terror, and Anubarak can no longer cocoon them. How you feel about Diablo getting a little smack in the chotch? Oh, big thumbs down on the video.
Well, Yeah, while we're talking about awards, here's my award for the most logical and reasonable and probably correct change that I absolutely hate because it was so much fun. The Garden Terror, I mean, the Garden Terror goes where it needs to go, yeah, right up to the gate. And then as Diablo, you just pick him up, throw him over the gate, and then knock him in range of four cannons.
Yeah.
It's super cool, super fun. Or the Dragon Knight, you trap him back behind your walls. And it always was good for a laugh, and it was always good for fun. But I understand why they're getting it.
I don't get the logic where you can hockey check him. Like, that still works, right?
Yeah.
But you can't overpower. You have the strength to move him, like, you know, super far by running into him, but you just can't lift him. Like,
I think it's literally just they don't want you picking him up over the wall, which maybe just don't let him go through the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, folks.
That would have solved it. I didn't know a Anubarak could cocoon those guys. I had no idea. I've never seen it. So that was new. So I guess he can't do that anymore. Actually, why couldn't they just, with the Anubarak thing, let him cocoon them and blow his ult, but have it be real brief the way they do with certain other abilities? So there's, like, for example, Muradin can stun any of these quote-unquote heroic vehicles, but it's very brief. It's nowhere near as long as it is for a character. Why not just make it so that cocoon just pops and then breaks after half a second or something? I don't know. But Diablo, you can't really help it. If he's not going to pick
you're
onto
something, Scott.
Yeah, see, look at me. Listen, Blizzard, if you want me to design your game for you, fine. Fine.
I'm sure designing. It's like really real designing.
That's right. So we talked earlier about the Reddit that went on. There was a bunch of Q&A that happened. And the Machines of War Q&A highlights are here. So no big announcements necessarily, not stuff that we didn't know, but a bunch of little things. I'd like to do these as in character, okay? So I'm going to be the people who ask the question, okay?
Okay.
So I'll be Junkersman, and let's see. Bo, you be Phil Gonzalez, okay? Don't do any ethnic slurs about his last name being Gonzalez. Okay, ready? Here we go.
How dare you tell me what to do?
Here goes. Junkersman asks, will you ever release attractive male characters without lots of armor and a butt covering? Think Tracer's butt, Nova's butt, Kerrigan's butt, except for a male character.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes.
Wait, he only had one yes, just for
you're
context.
You're paraphrasing a bit there, Bo.
It's called improv.
In the form of adding.
Look it up. Look it
multiple
up.
Yeses.
Improvisation. He said yes.
Okay, he did say yes. So that means
I choose to read it as he said yes. Oh yes, all the power.
Yeah,
like that kind of a yes. So,
so like
we should talk about this though.
It's weird though. Like somebody's saying
not wearing a shirt
in one of his things. So Tychus doesn't wear one in one of them, but his hands are.
Tychus is basically wearing, like, held together with rope and hose pants.
They said attractive. Muscles don't, like, being a giant booger-shaped muscle is not what women find attractive.
Yeah, no. Yeah, nobody's looking at Tychus and going, oh, yeah, that's my kind of man.
Like he's and by the way, what makes you sexy isn't always your muscles, it's your personality. And like Tychus has the personality of a beer can.
Right.
Like it's just no.
I like that comparison. All right, Phil Gonzalez also went on to say what? Give me the next line.
We're working hard to get racial and class coverage shored up. Draenei are not forgotten.
All right, so who are we getting? We've talked about this before. I want that Melron or Melon or what was his name in the last expansion?
Marad.
Melon.
You know, Melon.
Prophet Melon.
That's what I did.
Prophet Melon. Oh my gosh.
I got Marad and Velen.
That was great.
I got Marad and Velen mixed up. But yeah.
I want Yiddle.
Who's Yiddle? Who's that? Who the hell's that?
It's Yrel. Pronounced by Bo.
It's Yiddle. That's how they say it in the game.
Okay.
She's just cool. She's badass. And
she's the one that rolled around with Marad a lot. They were always
you quest with her a lot in the story on the Alliance side. So okay. You form a connection with the narratives where you play. I think if you played Horde, you didn't really see much of her except in a few cinematics. But she was with you a lot on the Alliance side, and she's pretty cool.
No Prophet Velen, you don't think we'll get? Probably not.
I'd prefer Yiddle and not Prophet Old Man Velen. He's like, I'm old and I have light. And he's like, okay, it's great. And here's my pet Naru. And you're like, I don't know. That stuff's cool. But it's kind of not cool at the same time.
But you eventually have to have all of the big leaders in the game, don't we? Like, at some point, don't we end up with even dead ones? We end up with Varian Wrynn. We end up with troll dude who just died. What's his name?
Vol'jin.
Vol'jin. Don't we end up with, like, the big names? We have to.
I would think so.
I just don't. Maybe Velen's not a big name, but I.
You know what? Let's not. I'm trying to think of a non-offensive way to say it. For some reason, only offensive things are coming to mind. Let's not jump the gun. There we go. That one's okay. On Velen, because I have a feeling, hinting at spoilers, that Velen's about to get real interesting.
Oh, really? All right. Not that far in, I guess.
You did it.
Did I?
The quest.
Did I?
Where you go to the Draenei?
Oh, to the task, to the not the Tassadar, the
he finds
Exodar.
Out yeah. some secret information.
Yeah.
So it's weird. At the end, if you hang out there, more stuff happens.
Oh.
If you leave right away, you miss some stuff because his people come in and he basically tells them, "Get to work. Let's start rebuilding the ship. We're leaving."
Yeah.
Like,
he wants off.
Pack it up. We're leaving the whole planet. Yeah. So. I don't know. That only one might get interesting.
Nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be safe. Or the only way to be sure. Yep.
Could be a new raid boss.
Yeah, don't forget the Draenei, I keep calling it the Tassadar. The Exodar is basically a big spaceship. So do with that what you want. All right, I'm now going to be speak with the pen, and I ask this. Unrestrained, which hero would have your dream legendary skin, and what would that legendary design concept be, Phil?
I really want to do legendary skins that are gender swaps, so we can do the other genders of the Diablo cast classes, and even Lich Queen Arthas or other creative alternate universe characters to get the ball rolling. I'd love to make the prime evil Diablo from D3.
Oh,
yes. Right.
So
I'm in.
We've talked about gender swaps a lot in the show, and this one jumped out at me as the art guy being like, "Yes, bring it. Let's do all the gender swaps." And I'm on board too. I think we're all on board.
Yep, I like that.
I want a dude Brightwing.
John, I'm gonna say you're gonna be Blizz Z-Hop. Okay. So for all the maps are flat. That's a weird question. So for all the maps are flat.
So far. Comma. I there's no comma in this guy's text.
Oh, I read four. So far, all the maps are flat. Did you consider introducing hills that affect field of view or rivers that slow down movement speed or any other new systems that affect gameplay into battlegrounds? And you, BlizzHop, Z-Hop, said?
No, this was... this. Oh, wait. Okay, yeah.
Then sure. You start with, "We are 100% there."
Hi, I'm Blizz Z-Hop. And I say, "We are 100% open to mechanics that alter slash affect environments. Braxis Holdout was one of the first maps we experimented with these types of mechanics. In this map, there is an elevator that will affect pathing by raising and lowering. Different cliff levels are challenging from a technical perspective, but it's not completely off the table."
Where are the elevators? I don't remember that. You guys remember elevators?
I don't know either. I'm curious.
Yeah. Where the hell's that on that map? We played that a bunch last week. I don't remember seeing that.
Actually, for whatever reason, I thought he was talking about Warhead Junction.
Yeah, Braxis Holdout.
I just read this, but yeah, if he's saying Braxis Holdout, I don't remember elevators. So I wonder if he meant Warhead Junction.
Maybe. Affect pathing or raising. Yeah, I don't. Maybe.
Is it possible it's the Zerg pens? Like, can you go in the Zerg pens before they start to fill?
Oh, maybe. Can you just die in there? That'd be cool.
Yeah, like I think the walls come down and you can go in, but I'm not 100% sure.
When the walls fell. Yeah. Here's one from Blizz JDE Shazer says, "We will definitely see some crazy maps moving forward. We played around with one lane maps, as you can see with Lost Cavern. A four lane map wouldn't be too far of a stretch." Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I just like that this guy was like, because, you know, this is a smaller context to a larger conversation, but, you know, basically being asked, what can we expect from the future of maps? Mm-hmm. Is it just going to be, you know, two lanes and three lanes and different versions of things? And I like the sound of crazy.
I like the sound of it.
Crazy's coming. We haven't seen crazy yet.
I do like this one. Do the devs ever wish this game had its own engine? And Phil Gonzalez replies, "I really wish we had an engine intentionally built for heroes," which again goes to them having to sort of convert what they had with StarCraft II and make it work. And they wish they would have started from scratch. But man, just imagine how much more delayed this game would be. We'd maybe be in beta by now. I'm thinking if they had done that.
It's true. But I get the impression that they run into a lot of technical limitations that the team is having to fight. And I don't know. I think we'd all be happy if it had its own intentionally built for Heroes engine.
I agree. Let's talk about placements real quick. You've done one game. I've done one game. And Bo, you're doing what? Where are you now with your placements? What are you doing?
Well, I did my placements and I got stuck in plat 3. And I say that because I was in middle diamond and it kind of is a kick in the pants to get put down there. I think I went 4-6. It's not the worst record. It's 40%. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe I should have, that's plat 1. I don't know. Placement's pretty mean to me. I felt like, why is it doing this to me?
Yeah, after all that work like, you put into being where you're at, it feels like you're getting punished a little bit.
Yeah, like, I mean, it places a lot of people at Diamond 3. Like, I see people in placement matches at the Diamond 3 level. Mm. I think that's about as high as it goes. Mm. So, weird. I just want to say, I don't enjoy that experience, considering I put in a lot of games, and it was a lot of effort to rank up.
Yeah.
So, it actually means something. Like, it's actually almost, the point here is, like, I actually almost felt a little discouraged from even trying this season, to be honest. I was like, that was a lot of work to get to where I was, and I was working hard to maintain it and improve. And getting kicked down like that,
yeah,
felt pretty unfair. Like, it's one thing if you're just placing and you get placed somewhere and then you play your 10 games and don't do it and whatever. But it actually affected me pretty deeply to have put in a lot of time and then to find myself nearly 5 ranks below where I was. Like, that's not a fun experience at all. So.
Go ahead, keep going.
So I have a legendary in Warcraft.
Oh, well, that sucks. All right.
I'm making myself feel better.
No, listen,
I got a consolation prize.
As much as I tease you there, I'm sort of with you, and it's not. If Bo Schwartz, of all of us, if Bo's the one saying, I felt a little discouraged and almost like not going for it again in a new season like this, that's a big deal to me. Like, to hear you say that is a big deal, given who you are and how much you play. So if that's your experience, imagine how other people's experiences are that are even lower than that. I think Blizzard has a long way to go to make Hero League as satisfying as possible. And I know it's hard, and I know it needs to be hard, and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of conversation to be had about it. But you don't need to be coming into the very next season fresh and immediately feel like you've been kicked down the stairs a few blocks. You know what I mean? So that's a bummer. Yeah.
Keep in mind, I made it to my qualifier for Masters last year. Like, I was able to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real reason to play Hero League other than to log in and have fun. Like, what's the point in trying? Like, what are your stakes when you do this thing other than score? There are some rewards tied to it. Specifically, I kind of wanted the ego mount, right? And I didn't get it. I'm okay with it. But it would have been nice to maybe like, well, I'll try for the ego mount because I worked so hard last season to go from gold to diamond 1. And just to feel like I have to do I have to do half of it over again. And it's discouraging. So I'm sure they're still iterating on how this placement thing goes. And I just want to put it out there that I had a crappy time with where I placed. And I'm sure everyone says the same thing.
Sorry.
Jim Arthur, I didn't qualify for diamond. I assure you, when I'm done here, I will return to you, my love, with a diamond in hand, and we shall wed. You stop playing music.
Never gets old, though. I freaking love it. Today, I placed platinum. Oh, that's amazing. All right, let's move on to what I want to do so bad right now, and it's going to be weird today, so I'm really excited about it. It's this. Why, look, everyone, it's a time for Next Jeopardy with your host, John Exerbity. No, wait, what do we call? How are we doing this? You're in charge today, John, is the bottom line. You're the DM.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next Jeopardy Dark.
Yeah.
I'm the evil twin of Bo Trebek.
Bo Trebek.
So Next Jeopardy Dark.
Got it.
Call it Next Jeopardy Dark.
Next Jeopardy After Dark. I like that. So I have no idea what to expect here, so take it away. What do you got?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to John's version of Next Jeopardy. How you doing? I have with me two contestants that I'm going to show no favor towards, any in particular, because I am going to run an unbiased and fair game. But there are going to be a little bit of differences. So it's going to be very similar to what we've done before. There's going to be three categories, three different values within each category. There's going to be a little change to Final Jeopardy, but some other minor changes that we'll come to as we go. So first things first.
All right.
Loot boxes have changed a little bit. You're now going to get a talent right out of the gate.
Okay.
But you don't get to pick it with me because I'm a evil taskmaster.
All right.
And I'm going to pick the talent for you.
Okay.
So who's going to go first?
You should go first since you host all the time. It's your turn to go first. Or is that a bad thing?
You said loot boxes work differently, and then you talked about talents. So are we still having loot boxes?
No, loot boxes are gone.
I feel like you can't just make that decision on your own.
Deleted. Removed. It's like it's like a BlizzCon slide. It says loot boxes, and then the next.
Okay.
And everyone, keep in mind, the Bo and John Nexeparties are not necessarily mutually exclusive. They can run as independent forces in our lives. So we'll see how this goes versus the other one.
All right. So Bo, do you want to do your dice? I saw you holding dice.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna figure out who goes first, Scott or I. Yeah. Scott, you want high or low?
I'll go high.
Oh, I dropped one, and I rolled the wrong dice anyway, so we're good. I rolled two d20s. What is that?
Yeah. Got a perfect 40.
37. So I pick first.
All right.
Okay. Bo,
I'm
generating your talent. You rolled an 8. So let's see what the talent is. Oh, you got Bo Cheats. Is the talent.
All right.
It's funny because it's ironic.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm Bastion of Integrity.
And it has your name in it. But yeah.
Gosh. Here's the problem. I don't remember what this means.
Does it mean I get to cheat?
I don't know. Hold on. Let me look at
your rules, but it's got to have something to do with that.
Okay. All right. Bo cheats. So basically what happens is at the very end of the game where Bo's notoriously cheating by turning negative values positive or whatever the heck rules he decides to make up.
Yeah.
At the very end of this game, we're going to roll a random number between 1 and 10. If that number is between 1 and 6, all negative scores become positive. If it's between 7 and 9, all positive scores become negative. And if it's a 10, your money doubles. So congratulations on that, Bo.
Okay. I get to roll it?
Yeah, well, I'm going to roll it.
Oh.
For you.
I didn't hear a dice sound the first time you rolled. Are there dice
on
it?
I'm using a website that's a random number generator.
I don't have Random.org. Random.org.
That'll work.
It is random.org. We'll plug it. Sure.
All right, sure, why not?
Scott, you rolled a 9, which is a talent called John's Bane.
Okay.
If the game goes over 15 minutes, you lose $100.
Oh, shit.
If it stays under, you gain 100.
Okay.
So I've looked at the time. I've made a note. We'll see how this goes.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Just 100? I feel like it should be. All right. Continue.
Keep going.
I'm used to being in control. I'm finding issues with it.
Look at you trying to stall. Now, there is one other mechanic that we're going to get into. At the $100 level for the three categories, there is the ability to re-roll your talent if you answer it correctly. Now, you don't know which category has the re-roll under it, but if you get a correct answer in that category, you get a choice on whether or not you wish to re-roll your talent.
All right.
So, here are your categories. Back in my day, which is going to be hero names based on lore information.
All right. Is this all, by the way, going toward my 15 minutes? I'm just checking.
Yep.
Okay. All
right. moves like Jagger, which is going to all be hero names based on character moves.
All right.
And Don't Click Me, Bro, which is hero names based on the jokes the characters make when they are clicked too much.
All right.
So, Bo, you're on the board. You're the man, dog.
Okay.
Man now, dog.
It's so inside. It's inside itself. All right, back in my day for 100, John Trebek.
All right, you have discovered the re-roll. So if you get this right, you have the option to re-roll your talent.
Can I cheat my way out of it? I choose to cheat.
Same rules as Jeopardy. You have to answer in the form of a question. And here we go. The answer is This character met his demise in the Tomb of Sargeras by being torn apart by demons.
In the Tomb of Sargeras. Oh, is this in Warlords?
Lore for characters that are in Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm. So this character is dead. Oh.
Yep, Scott.
Who is Medivh?
That is incorrect.
Ah, what? I thought he got torn apart. Oh, maybe he became him. I don't remember.
Bo, do you have an answer?
Pass.
Okay. The answer is, who is Gul'dan?
Oh, he was? Oh, but didn't... I guess the timeline, it doesn't matter. You're right. Never mind.
Bo, you are still in charge.
Back in my day for 200.
This character would have inherited their name upon their master's death.
Who was Medivh?
Incorrect.
Oh, you were thinking Guardian. So was I.
Yeah.
Inherit their name after their master's death. I have no idea. Pass. Pass.
All right. The answer is, who is Johanna?
Wait. What, the next one becomes Johanna?
Yeah, what if it's a son or something, or a boy?
Doesn't matter. The
they don't
the
have
Crusaders inherit their name upon their master's death.
Okay.
That is why the master and apprentice relationship is so important.
Gotcha. I would not know that.
Bo, I'd hate to be Gestapo's student. Crusader, what is it?
Crusader Gestapo?
Or not Gestapo, but I'm trying to, like... Yeah, anyways, Crusader Giuseppe. I don't want to be that guy. No offense if your name's Giuseppe. I just don't want it.
I don't know how many Giuseppes exist in the world today, but
all right, Bo, you're still in command.
Back in my day for 300, says Bill Cosby.
This character developed amnesia after supposedly dying in Ice Crown.
Died of amnesia?
No, didn't die of amnesia. Developed amnesia after supposedly dying in Ice Crown.
Oh.
Scott.
Who is Illidan?
Incorrect. Darn close. Actually, you almost had me say, you know what? It's not the answer I was looking for, but it's kind of right. Problem is, he didn't develop amnesia.
Okay.
Dang it. But you're right. He did almost.
I'm going to lose and have the $100 shaved off. I just know it.
Bo, do you have a guess?
Since I can't control time.
I have ideas, but I do not know for certain, so I'm not going to guess.
The answer is, who is Mirrodin?
That was my guess.
Was supposedly killed when Arthas first took the sword, but turns out he just had amnesia and wandered around for a while.
Damn it. Well, that was in... There was a story about that in The Shattering, or maybe it was Arthas. One of those books, they talk about that. Now I remember it. Anyway, all right.
I thought these were going to be too easy. I'm sorry.
All right. Don't click me, bro, for 100.
All right. The answer is Entaro me?
Who? Who is Tassadar?
Is correct.
Killing me.
All right.
Don't click me, bro, for 200.
All right, you found Double Dollars.
Bling, bling,
I'm
bling,
sure
bling.
It has a Jeopardy name, but I call it Double Dollars.
I like it, Double Dollars.
This category with a correct answer is worth double.
All right.
The answer is, alas, poor Gul'dan. I knew him not at all, actually. Scott.
Who is Medivh?
Is there people you click on?
Who is Medivh?
Incorrect.
Damn it!
You get this from clicking on the guy a lot, right?
Correct.
I don't lose double on that.
One of his pissed audio lines.
Yeah.
Alas, poor Gul'dan, I hardly knew him.
No. I never knew him at all, actually.
Pass.
The answer is, who is Illidan Stormrage?
What?
He carries around Gul'dan's skull, so it's a reference to Shakespeare.
Right, from the original Dead. All right. No. I should have known that. I'm bugged
myself.
Don't
click me, bro, for 300.
My friends call me the Master Blaster.
Can we get impressions? I think we're owed a voice on this one.
My friends call me the Master Blaster. Scott.
God damn it.
Who is? Oh wait. My brain just fried. Hold on.
I'm calling time.
No, wait. No wait. Time. Who is? Ah, freaking dead little shitty goblin piece of shit. Who is Frank?
Sounds like Laszlo, maybe?
Laszlo!
Well, you're too late anyway. I
know.
Sorry, Scott.
I know.
Well, but
give it to Bo. Give it to
Bo. No one
Bo.
Said the answer.
Yeah, it's Laszlo.
You gave him the hint and then said he doesn't get it?
You know it, though.
This is brutal. Yeah, who is Laszlo? Who is Laszlo?
Yeah, Bo gets it.
Oh, but I already gave it to him, so I'm actually not going to award any points on that. Sorry.
I like this game. John answered the question and gave me the points.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to give those points to me. So hold on. Let me just type me in here because I got the answer.
Oh, bummer.
There we go. John with $300.
Yeah.
Bo with negative 100 and Scott with negative 900.
Okay.
I feel like the show's getting DDoSed right now.
Well, you know, it's weird. Now that I'm in control of it, I can see why people might think this might be an unfair show. Weird, right?
Weird. How strange.
That's literally zero correct answers throughout the entire board.
No, Bo I got one right.
Yeah, Bo got one right.
I got two.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't enough to get you out of negatives.
I meant negative 100. All right. Yeah. Moves like Jagger. I got the moves like Jagger. I got the moves like Jagger.
I think it's you got to move like Jagger, but that's okay.
I got the moves, moves like Jagger.
My kids think 100. My kids think it's I've got to move my jacket. But anyway, go ahead.
Dragon's Breath.
Wait, this is what? Which one? Oh, moves
so
like
this
Jagger.
This is going to be the name of a move. You have to give me the character that has this move. Scott.
Who is Diablo?
Incorrect.
What?
Oh.
Who is Chromie?
Correct.
Shitballs. Oh, Dragon's Breath. I'm thinking of that one.
Oh, you still have control.
I want the ooh for $200.
Ruthless Onslaught.
Not talents, right?
Not talents. These are all core...
I know this
list of the characters.
Ruthless Onslaught. Oh, why is that not? Why is that familiar, but then not?
So,
Time's up.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, all right, time's
Scott.
Already
I'll
up?
Give you the benefit of the buzzer because you need points.
Who is the Butcher?
You're correct.
Oh,
yeah. There you go. It's the E on Butcher.
I don't plan, but I remember that ability. It was just ringing a bell, and then it finally clicked. Okay. Finally. I'm still right. Negative, though, but yes.
You're in control. You control picking the last question.
Yep.
Moves like Jagger for 300. Is that what's left?
That's correct.
Okay.
Cursed Strikes. Oh.
Who is Zool? Moves like Zool.
You're correct. So I don't want to give you any points for that.
All right. Score currently?
Currently, the tied for first place is Bo and myself with $300 each.
Uh-huh.
And then in second place is Scott with negative $800.
Oh, my gosh. I'm that guy on the end of the thing. What do you do back in Ohio? I'm going to run a newspaper and I have a dog. I feel like that guy. All right. Anyway.
Now, final next effort is going to be handled a little different as well. So currently, Bo is in the lead. So he is going to get to pick first. And basically what you're going to do is you're going to both tell me what you're betting, and Bo will get to pick which category he wants his final next Jeopardy question from, and then Scott, you get to pick from the remaining two.
All right.
So first, Bo, how much are you betting?
All of it.
All right. You're betting $300, and which category do you want your final next Jeopardy question from?
What are the choices?
The same three categories. Back in my day, moves like Jagger and Don't Click Me, Bro.
I want moves like Jagger.
I'm shocked. Right. I'm
you
shocked.
Got it?
Can't believe
Scott,
that's the
how
only
much
pick.
Are you betting?
Well, I have nothing, so can I bet?
Yeah, you can bet negative money. Why not?
I'll bet all of it then.
All right, you bet all of your negative money.
You can't I don't know what negative that money.
How do you do that? How do they normally do it if you're negative in the Final Jeopardy?
You're out. You done.
I'm just out.
You're out.
So I'm gonna lose no matter what. There's nothing I can do. Right?
We'll see. Okay. Bo has a talent that could change things.
Oh,
that's why. That's why we have the flipping thing, because you can't bet negatives. But
right,
regardless. Oh, continue, John.
Good point. All right, good.
This is your world.
Good now. Point.
And Scott, which category do you want your final next Jeopardy question from?
Moves like I can't take that one. Back in my day.
All right. So, Bo, your final next Jeopardy question. Keep in mind, this is a move from the game. The move is melee.
Who is Tracer? Oh, do I say it?
Yeah.
Who is Tracer?
That is correct.
Shit. So he, so he's 600 now?
He is at $600.
All right. And now?
Scott, your question.
Yeah.
This character earned their royal seat all thanks to the diligent, all thanks to a diligent fact checker. Yours might have been a little harder than those.
All right, well, let me think of who's royalty. There's only one. Right? Who is Prince Arthas?
Incorrect.
I have no idea.
But you have no money, so you're still at -8.
Yeah. Who was it?
Falstad Wildhammer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Who was supposed to be on the three hammers or whatever they're called, the dwarven seat.
Right.
But he is the guy that they replaced with someone else, and Red Shirt Guy famously corrected and said, no, that's not what it should be. So Falstad is back.
Oh, all right. That is lore better, I was unaware of. That's kind of
better
awesome.
Than ever.
Yeah.
Now, this is where I would normally proclaim a winner, but there is a talent in effect here. Actually, there's two.
I'm going to cheat now.
So first of all,
we were under 15 minutes.
Are we under 15? We're under 15.
Which means you're gaining $100.
Okay, so I'm negative 700. Okay, great.
Congratulations.
All right.
Accurate. Now, Bo, we need to roll to see what is going to happen to the money totals. So I'm going to once again roll between 1 and 10. The result is 3, so let me go back and see what that means, because I don't remember. Bo cheats, rolls between 1 and 6, negative becomes positive on a 1 and 6, and so all the negatives become positive.
So I have positive 700.
That puts Scott at $700 to Bo's $600. Scott has won the inaugural John's Next Jeopardy.
Except you realize, because it's called cheating, and I effectively cheated, it's what I wanted.
Right.
I won, too. I got what I wanted. I have a legendary in World
War. Yeah, that's the other thing. He can rub
well, if it makes you all feel better, you all beat me, so congratulations.
Yeah, well done, everyone. All right, that's your Next Jeopardy for today.
And fair and honest.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, I've never, not once did I feel like any of that was going to swing too hard one
especially
way or
not
other.
The talent called Bo Cheats. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no cheating involved on behalf of any parties. It's just a name, folks.
That's right. All, yeah, what's in a name anyway? Oh, I'll tell you what's in a name. People who call in, they use their names a lot. They call us at 801-471-0462, or they email us at coreheroes@gmail.com. No, that's not it. core@heroesforyou.com is the address you want to use. And we got a couple of calls today. We got one about Gul'dan. This is an interesting take.
I had a quick question for Scott, John, and Bo. I had a quick question specifically about Gul'dan. So, and in your opinion of recent heroes kind of falling flat, I'm wondering if, with Gul'dan, if he was tuned up with the exact same kit, the exact same life drain, life tap mechanic, if he was tuned up just a little bit, maybe a hair on the overpowered side, if you'd be talking about him completely differently.
Well, of course we would. It's not his abilities that suck. It's his, it's that he can't compete with other choices. Like, other picks are better than him for what he brings to the table, right? Or am I wrong in saying that, Bo? Is that, I think that's the problem with Gul'dan.
It's Gul'dan. Okay, that's why I just missed the hero name. But yeah. I think there's a lot of things going on with him. I mean, I think it's more than just the damage numbers. You have to trade your life as a resource. Turns out that stuff's pretty important. It's just like saying a lot of people walk around with their shoes tied and they can run.
Yeah.
But you decide to wear a pair of shoes with the laces untied, and every time you tie them, they just unlace themselves, and you're going to run the marathon that way because those are the shoes you like.
Yeah.
That's what playing Gul'dan is like.
Wow.
Actually, and so you're right. Really spot on with how I feel about him. Like, I completely agree. And I think we said this leading up to his release, is that his trait, which is the sole thing that the character's grounded in, should feel powerful. It should feel cool to be a character that never has to go back or worry about mana because they can balance. But I feel like the balance isn't right on him. And so what should be a boon actually feels bad.
Yeah. I agree.
I think they need to get away from the manaless mechanic altogether, because the more you think about it, there are a ton of heroes who don't have mana. Like as a mechanic, it's not like everyone has mana, but this special guy has an infinite bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a flavor thing. It actually functionally is also like people who don't have mana bars are better, and people with mana bars are just better because they just do the same amount of damage with their abilities. And if anything, his stuff costs a fortune. So I think a rethink needs to happen with the fantasy of, you know, cutting off your left arm in order to gain demonic strength, that kind of thing, the way warlocks go. I just don't think this is enough to, it's not a flavor. His VO is really cool. His art's really cool. His ability, some of them are pretty cool looking, but it's not, it doesn't fill the fantasy correctly on Gul'dan at all. And I think a lot of people would say the same.
And the fantasy they're aiming for is hobbling it. Like nobody here is saying, yo, the most important warlock in the history of Warcraft should not behave like a warlock. Like, we want his fantasy intact. We want him to be who he is. He's damaged goods in lots of ways. And part of that is, you know, sacrificing one's soul, one's self, one's physicality, one's mentality to get done what you need to get done. And they presented the character like that, but it just feels bad. Like, it just doesn't feel right.
And I feel like warlocks make that sacrifice for great power, and I don't feel like he gains any power from it. I think that's the problem. I mean, if there was some mechanic where maybe every time he has to do a life tap, it increases some number in the background, and so you got characters who just want a life tap all the time and then, you know, drain more and get greedy like that and get dangerous like that. That seems kind of cool. But he's just life tapping to keep his mana bar up, and you know, whoop de doo.
Yeah, but
see, what he should do.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. What he should do is not life tap to restore mana.
Mm-hmm.
He should life tap to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
He should life tap. I have a thought, like life tap all of his allies to do some other thing of note in the game field rather than just for mana.
Totally agree. And I'll bet that's what they end up doing. But to answer his question more specifically, I'm going to say that if he was OP and felt really good, if he felt good, and that's usually because he's playing well or doing lots of crazy damage or, you know, winning games, we would be having a different conversation about him, even if the life tap thing was still the factor in the way it's a factor today. The problem is it's just, I guess, balanced wrong, and I'm totally on board with Bo's idea of go back, rework it, make it part of his kit in some other way, make it more of a pointed use and not a constant. It's like a life sim. It's like, well, he's almost dead, so I better not life tap, or even can't life tap at this point. But I really need that mana to do anything, so I'll just sit in the back and do nothing. Like, it's an odd feeling with him.
I have an idea.
Okay,
it came to me on the show.
All right,
you know how Oriel gives a hat? Well, Gul'dan gives like a puts his D on somebody and makes like a green essence connection.
Yeah.
And he uses other people's health bars as his mana.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
That's not bad.
As a part, like, he can only do it to one person at a time. And then he hurts them to shoot his spells. He doesn't have that. He can't shoot anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't have mana. That's more interesting because a person's health pool would be larger than a traditional mana bar. And he's damaging his own team. That could be interesting.
I like it. I like it a lot. Here is another call. This one's I don't know if it's too long. Well, anyway, you get the idea.
Hi, this is Charles calling for the core show. And I was just thinking, I've had a problem with the Nexigons in that it's only the champions, the world champions who can pick them up or get a Nexigon for themselves. I'd like it if everybody who qualified in regionals or even earlier could get a Nexigon. You could buy into it. help support the team of your choosing. It doesn't have to be like the top team. It doesn't have to be Tempest or Cloud9 or MVP Black. You can, you know, support. I'd like to support Astral Authority.
Okay, so basically these hexagons that come out, they're the mounts, for those who doesn't know what he's talking about. These hexagonal looking, you know, things that say the winner of that that year's championships or whatever. It'd be cool if you could support your own team somehow, and that maybe everyone who's qualified, so this is the way I'd do it. It's not that much work for Blizzard either, but everyone who's qualified for the finals at BlizzCon, we should have all of them now in the mount store and available for purchase or whatever. So you can support the team you like, and then you can keep that one because you still support them. We're always talking about on Rally Point ways of getting more grassroots support for your teams. And you can't do it the way you do with like a local hockey team or a local basketball team because the local part is missing. So you have to figure out other ways to attach yourself to a team and have some pride in that team. And this would be a great way to do that and have more choice than just the ones who won. By having just the ones who won, nobody who doesn't care about that team is going to buy it. And only people who do support that team are going to buy it. And it just feels kind of toothless and dumb. So I'm all for this idea of spreading it around a little bit. And we're not talking about a ton of art assets or anything. It's pretty easy.
And yeah. There are people out there willing to donate money. The Bloodlust tournament happened this weekend, and they raised $9,000 for their little tournament. Mm-hmm. So the money's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $9,000.
I feel like there's a part of me that understands the, you know, you are the champion, you get something cool, but I want the scene to grow and be supported more than I want a team to have a really cool thing in mm-hmm. the game. Mm-hmm. Plus, they won. Like, they're not the ones who need the additional funding necessarily. Not to say that, you know, winning pays out so much they never need money ever again or anything like that. But give an incentive for more teams to want to get in and more teams to at least walk away with something, I think is a good idea.
Yeah, plus, you know, what did we get with the first championships? We got freaking Cloud9. We got a little hexagon with Cloud9 on it. And then guess what? Cloud9 decided not to fund their team anymore. And now they're not in there anymore. So it just feels dumb and lame and stupid on the other end of this. So this way, you can create real support. And when if a team goes away, fine. There's other teams to support, and they're still in there. If they come back or they stay for a long time, great. You've got a long-standing fandom for that team. Like, I think that's a really great idea, and I hope Blizzard does it. Time will tell. And so will time tell if we'll have a show again. We will, next Tuesday, actually. We'll have a show.
Wow.
Is there something you'd like to tell us,
Scott? I've got a big announcement. Core is stopping at 50. No, we're going to keep going. 51 next week, everybody. Come on back for it, because it's happening. Chat room, just for some quick PSA. Normally, we would play right after this, though John and Bo may still. I can't. I got a thing I have to go to, so there won't be a stream from me tonight. However, we usually try to do that, and next week we'll also be on the launcher again, so expect lots of gameplay after our show next week. Anything else? You guys have anything else before we wrap it up? I can't think of anything else. It's been a hell of a show.
I mean, I'd say anything to get you to stay and just talk all night with you and with John about all this stuff. But we have lives to get back to.
You have more legendaries to accidentally find in a box somewhere.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, you said maybe we'll stream after the show, and I'm like, I might log into Warcraft and just Lucksack my way into
legendary. Exactly. I gotta catch up with Bo. It's like keeping up with the Joneses.
And now every time I see a box, I click it with this weird anticipation that's never being fulfilled. It's the worst feeling. So I've got to quit doing that. I need to just be surprised by it like you were. Anyway, so for now, thank you all for listening, especially those listening live. For those of you listening at home, you're kind of cool too. We like you guys as well. Don't forget to check us out at heroesforyou.com. That is the website with all the links to the stuff you might need for the show. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. Join us in the game /joinfrogpants, and you can hang out with some listeners and play. core@heroesforyou.com again is our email address, and you can call us 801-471-0462 and leave a voicemail. Find us on Twitter. John is at John_Jagger. I'm at Scott Johnson. Bo is at Bo Schwartz, and you can find the show at Core Heroes. That's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. Theme song by Bo Schwartz. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Running low on mana. Mana reserves are low. I need more mana.
Ooh, move the arc, you ruined it, damn it.